Good morning, Missio. My name is Joel, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's always a special Sunday when we have the opportunity to dedicate kids. I love it when parents commit to raising their kids in the ways of Jesus, and it's encouraging to have a community that also supports them in those endeavors. I mean, think about what we're doing and what we're saying when we pledge these things, right? We're saying that Jesus is what we believe to be in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that Jesus is the true way, the person that we are going to follow, the ones that we are going to be disciples of. We believe that Jesus offers us abundant life, a full and flourishing life, right? And so, to be honest with you, I think this morning when I came to preparing for this message, I started to struggle. And I say, to be honest, like other Sundays, I'm dishonest with you or something, but here's what I was struggling with. You know, I started preparing for this message and took about 5 different drafts of how to present today's message. And that's not because today's message is really theologically difficult, or that it's hard to understand or connect with. The reality is what I was struggling with was talking about this Christian walk, 2 aspects of the Christian walk that can be really hard for us. And the 2 aspects we're going to look at is connecting with Jesus, staying connected and abiding with Jesus. And the other part is allowing God to cut away things that hold significant places in our lives, so that we can actually experience the abundant life that we talk about when we follow Jesus. So we've been in a series called I Am, and we've been looking at the I Am statements of Jesus, where Jesus in the book of John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread. I am the light of the world. All these different I am statements. And so today, what we're looking at is John 15, 1 through 17, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And of course, we'll keep it on the screen too for you. So let me read John 15, 1 through 11. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your love, your joy may be full. So again, for those of you that have been walking with Jesus for a while or grew up in the church, it's not an unfamiliar passage, right? It's one that we hear pretty regularly. But I think it's safe to say that right now, people here on this Zoom call, most of you didn't study viticulture, right? Viticulture is the science and study of grape production. So it's pretty safe to say I don't think anyone has, but maybe if you have, then you can take over right now. So what I did this week was I read a bunch of articles and watched some videos to try and understand the nuances of this image that Jesus uses. As he speaks of, he's speaking to an agrarian society, right? One that is really familiar with growing grapes and similarly growing olives. So Jesus starts out and he says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." So I have this diagram that will be helpful today as we look at it. And this diagram, if you look and we say, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." The true vine is that trunk right in the center, the center source of energy, right? So he's saying, "I am the trunk. I am the source of energy. I am the source of life." And God the Father is the vine dresser, the farmer that tends to this tree. In verse 2 and 3, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it bears fruit. Already you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you." Growing up in church, I used to read this passage and think, "Oh my gosh, if I don't bear fruit, then God is going to lock me off. He's going to cut me off and throw me into a fiery pit of hell," right? That's the image I started to think of whenever I would read this as a kid. And even as into my adulthood sometimes. And that's the way some people continue to interpret this. Almost a scaring turn or burn type image, right? But let me reassure you, God is good. He is a good vine dresser. He's not sadistically just chopping off branches and throwing them into the fire and enjoying it. This verse is not about having to prove yourself, having to work harder to produce fruit so that you don't get cast into the fire. That's not what this verse is about. God's desire is to be in relationship with all people, with the people that he created. But it's his business. It's not that he's trying to force people into relationship with him. Jesus, when you follow Jesus, that's your choice to reconcile with God. That's how God created it to be. But he's, again, not going to force you to be connected to him. He's allowing you the choice to make. And God respects your wishes. If you choose not to be connected with him, then you will be removed. And that's what the verse is really saying. It sounds harsh, but in a true, loving way, if you choose not to follow Jesus, then you'll just be removed from the tree. N.T. Wright points out a very interesting nuance here. So here's the quote from N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is an English scholar, a theologian, and you hear us quoting him a lot because he's got just some ways with words and helping us understand theology. So the English language doesn't let us catch the flavor of what John writes here. The word he uses for prune in verse 2 is unusual and is very like the word for clean or pure in the next verse. That is why he used it here. He wants us to link the pruning of the vine with the clean state of the disciples. They have already been pruned, though no doubt there is more of it to come. Jesus has spoken the word to them, calling them to take up their cross and follow him. They have had to submit to the pruner's knife, cutting away other goals and ambitions. They have already borne fruit. they must now expect more pruning so that they can bear more fruit. So guys, as disciples of Jesus, as people that have already made decisions to be learners of Jesus, to be followers of Jesus, to abide in him, to obey his commands, as disciples of Jesus, you have already been clean. You have already been pruned. But it's more, it's not one pruning, not just one time, right? We pray and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it's a one time, it's not just a one-time pruning, right? The disciples of Jesus, we have a purpose. We're expected to bear fruit. Do you hear that? So as disciples of Jesus, there's a purpose in our lives now. We're expected to bear fruit. And this is what this is about, this passage is about. So what I've learned in my research is that the vine dresser is continually pruning and cultivating throughout the year. In every season, the vine dresser has a plan and a purpose in each season to get the best fruit out of every crop. In the winter months, the vine dresser will go through and clean out all of the dead foliage, right? So if you look at that diagram again, all the branches called cordon and cane are pruned away, right? So all the dead ones are pruned away, and it prepares for the next season. They leave only the few that have the greatest potential to make it through the winter. So check this out. The branches that will produce the best fruit and the most desirable, sweet tasting fruit are the ones that are closest to the vine. Jesus said what in verse 4 and 5? In verse 4 and 5, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Those cordon and those cane branches, those that are closest to the vine, have the highest likelihood to survive the winter. They have the highest likelihood to stay close enough to that life source that through hard winters and through the frost, it's going to survive. They take the energy and the nutrients. All the other branches are cut away. And actually, if given the chance, they could bud and they could bloom. But whatever energy that is remaining in those stumps is what's left, right? The end result is it would burn out. Those limbs, without being connected to the vine, are going to burn out. Any energy that would cause it to bloom will end because there's no continual life source, leaving it to wither and die. Often people come to me and say, "Joel, I'm burned out. I've got nothing left." And this is in all areas of life, right? Like we feel a burnout. We have nothing left. We're tired. But burnout actually happens because we are trying to give something of ourselves that we don't have. Do you hear that? Burnout happens because we're trying to give something of ourselves that we don't have. The reality is that we probably aren't abiding in Jesus. We aren't in close connection to Jesus for our nourishment, for our energy, for our life source. Now, it sounds harsh, but Jesus is saying it, right? He says, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Friends, we cannot give what we cannot receive, what we're not receiving. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. At Missa, we talk a lot about rhythms that keep us connected to Jesus. We are doing what we're doing to stay close to the source of life. How are we combating the lies if you're not hearing truth regularly? You know, there was one, like Lisa, my wife and I were talking this week about this very thing. And we were saying how in our rhythms, so many times we think that showing up to church each week is enough. But if you do the math and you think about it, you have 52 Sundays a year. And most of us don't make it every week, right? That's the reality. But if we're expecting our 1 hour to 1.5 hours on this Zoom call to be the source of life, to be the thing that gets us through the week, we're kidding ourselves. If we are expecting that is life transforming and abundant, then we're getting it wrong. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, day in and day out, hour upon hour, eating, drinking, sleeping, walking, healing, doing all the things that Jesus did. And even in that, those disciples were missing pieces in their discipleship. So what are the rhythms that we are practicing? How are we getting close and connected to that true vine? In verse 6 and 7, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So after some major pruning of the old branches, the tree rests and is dormant through the winter. In early spring, they tie down and shape the best cordon that make it through the winter and the frost. And then they prune away the canes and the other cordons that won't make it. All of this to do what? To make sure that it produces good fruit. In late spring, a ton of new growth will begin to happen. And guess what? The vine dresser comes in and prunes again. This time they cut away the suckers. So if you look at the bottom of this plant, the little things pointing out from the base are called suckers. Don't you love that image? Right? Those little life suckers that are shooting up out of the base of the vine are pruned off. Those things that look promising and good, but actually send us off. Oh, sorry. Those things that are shooting up, those suckers, are the things that suck life out of us. And I bet we can name a handful of them right now if I just gave you a chance to think. We know the things that suck the life out of us, and they keep springing up here and there and there. And the vine dresser is coming in lovingly and just cutting those away, asking you to cut those away so that more energy goes into the true vine. Now then, if you look up that water spout, that little green one shooting out of its side of the vine, out of the trunk, the water spout are the illegitimate vines that are shooting out. And those need to be pruned away. Those things that look promising and the good, the things that are actually feel like good, but they send us off in the wrong direction. They take us away from God. They take away the energy of actually going towards the cordon and the cane and the new shoots. Those need to be pruned away. How do you identify the suckers and the water spouts in your life? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. last week, Vicky talked about the I am statement that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we believe that Jesus is the only way and his word is the truth and life that we need, and the life that we need, then we need to abide in him. That's the only way that you will be able to identify the life suckers and the water spouts. God wants to prune them away. And we can trust that the vine dresser is cutting those away for good purposes, for his glory. Then Jesus said this phrase, that whatever you want, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. That's not some prosperity gospel, and that's not some weird theology here. Okay, it's not a name and claim it thing. What he's saying is when you abide in me, when you are connected to the source of life, when you know the truths of God, when you walk in his way, his truth, and his life, when you are connected, then you actually know what your purpose is. You actually have a sense of what the kingdom of God is up to in your life. And so you can ask what you want, because you'll begin to realize what you want is actually what God wants for his purposes, for his kingdom. God is happy to answer that. He's happy to give you what you want, because what you want will be what he wants. It's not a name it and claim it, right? It's not a prosperity gospel. It is just, if you're close to me, you know my heart. You know what I want for you. You know what I want for my kingdom. Just go and ask and it will be given to you. So encouraging. So let's keep going and think through the next season. So that plant's growing, right? We've gotten through spring and now we're going into early summer. The vine dresser comes in and thins out any of the canes and the shoots that are taking energy away from the flowering growth. What he does there is he's giving the plant space for the sun and the air and circulation to get the health going. Going into late summer, another clearing happens. He thins out the leaves that are blocking out the sun. He thins out leaves that are collecting moisture and that may be producing mold. So even that, at this time, which I thought was totally blew my mind, is that the vine dresser comes in and starts actually removing some grape clusters. Clusters that are already kind of fruit, that are potential fruit. But what happens is that fruit is crowding out the better fruit. He leaves only the clusters that produces the finest of grapes. Sometimes our fruits, they're not the same. There are better fruits than some of the other fruits. And the vine dresser knows which ones to hold on to. The vine dresser knows which one is crowding out the other. And he starts to take away clusters of grapes. The vineyard makes it through the summer. It's growing, it's flourishing. And then into the fall, the harvester comes. This time it's the harvesters that come. The vine dresser's done, the harvesters come and they start picking the bounty of fruit that is there. And even within that, as they pick those grapes, they are picking off the dead ones, picking off the ones that are spoiled, picking off the ones that may have gotten moldy or gross. And then it's shipped off to be consumed. And the cycle starts again. Jesus knows what he's doing when he's talking about, I am the vine and you are the branches. He's helping us understand what this call really is to be a disciple. In verse 8 through 11, he finishes up and says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that the joy, that your joy may be full." Being a disciple isn't easy. This analogy talks about seasons of life. And if you have lived any amount of life, you know that there are macro seasons that describe your life in stretches, right? The bigger picture, if you will. And then there are the micro seasons, the little stories within the stories of your life. You see that no matter what macro season you're in life, whether you're young and a student, whether you're a professional working day in and day out, whether you're singled or married or divorced, the vine dresser is up to something. If it's the micro season where you're going through life and you have no kids, or you have young kids, or you're now empty nesters, or even like the seasons and the feelings that you feel where you're dry, whether you're lonely, you're anxious, you're filled, or you're growing and flourishing. The vine dresser, God, is working. He is looking at your life. He's purposing your life to bear good fruit. He takes into account all the things and works for your good and for his glory, that you bear much fruit. God has been, he is, and he will be pruning and cultivating you through the different seasons. And the true vine, Jesus, is what you cling near to and dear to right now, because he is the life source. He is what will nourish you. He will strengthen you. He will keep you alive in the bitter winters. He'll keep you steady in the hopeful springs, and he will strengthen you and make you abundant in the summers. Your job is to abide in him, to stay connected, to create the rhythms and the practices that will help you hear God and be in relationship with Jesus so you can bear that fruit. But one thing before we end, that I think it would be bad if we skipped over. You need to ask yourself, what's the fruit for? What is the purpose of this fruit? If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, is that fruit that God has cultivated in you and is cultivating in you right now, and that Jesus is producing, is that for your own consumption only? Is it just for you? You see, the fruit that you produce is for God's glory. It proves to the world that through all the different seasons, you choose to abide in his love and to keep his commands. And when you do that, you're able to endure, and not just endure or survive, you flourish. The fruit that is produced in you is, yes, it's good for you, but it's also to be shared with others for the glory of God. There's a purpose in that fruit, and it's not just you individually. The way that you respond to the different seasons of your life matters. Your life affects those around you. Parents, we talked about dedicating kids today. And the Missio community and friends that have joined us today, we reached out our hands and we said we wanted to support that too. It matters how you live. It matters how you react and listen to God in each season. The kids that we dedicated today, the kids around us, our family around us, they are watching. They are listening. They are observing how you handle this pandemic, how you handle this political season, how you handle the seasons of your life, day in and day out. Missio family, it matters the fruit that you bear. It matters how you live out your seasons of life in this community. It matters in your workplace, and it matters in your neighborhoods. As a whole church, as the Missio community, as the body of Christ, it matters how we live. It matters what fruit we bear. It matters to the city. It matters to our neighborhoods. It matters to this nation and the world. So as you go out this week, I want to encourage you to just reflect on some of these questions. The first one I have is, have you made a decision to be a disciple of Jesus? Have you submitted to the initial pruning of the vine dresser? My hope is that you make a decision for Jesus, to follow Jesus, to experience the abundant life. But when you do, that is a true pruning, the first pruning. So have you made that decision to follow Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus? The next question I have is, what season do you feel like you're in right now? Now, we were talking about macro seasons and we're talking about micro seasons. Is it the big story? What big story season are you in? And what is the story within the story season you're in? What areas of your life is God wanting to prune and clean and clear away? What things do you have to say no to that you need to let go of? What needs to be cleared away so that you can say yes to the kingdom? To say yes to what God's doing in your life. What practices are you engaging to abide in Jesus? This morning I was able to go take a walk. It's a practice that I'm learning, either taking a walk or running or exercising, doing something physical while actually spending time with God at the same time. Getting up in the morning, spending time in the Word. And there's these little life suckers that just keep popping up that God needs to prune away so that I can say yes to those things. Finally, who benefits from the fruit that God is producing in you? Who's watching? Who needs to experience the fruit that you're experiencing? Missio, I'm praying that as you go out this week and as we journey through this season that is so uncertain, that you're able to abide in the true vine, that you're able to allow God to prune away the things that are distracting you from living the abundant life or sucking the life away from what's supposed to be abundant. So let me pray for us before we spend some time in worship. Jesus, we thank you that you are the true vine, that you are the life source, that you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. And God, if we are close to you and we abide in you, we will experience your love and your joy. God, thank you that you have a purpose and a plan to produce good fruit in our lives. And we pray that we would submit to your pruning, that you would take away the things that are distracting in our lives, that are life suckers, that are illegitimate vines in our lives that are taking us away from you. Lord, we want to be disciples that learn how to follow you, that share the fruit that you have placed in us. And we pray that in that, those would come to know you as we know you. Would you lead us in that this season and seasons to come, in Jesus' name, amen.